tools, those resources, might even say weapons that we would have available to us to counter, to stand firm, to stand strong against evil, but specifically against Satan. And so the passage has listed the belt of truth, which we have discussed a few weeks ago, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And then it also mentions prayer and supplication. And so that's part of this armor as well. And Paul borrows from Old Testament imagery to, you know, help understand, of course, when in context to his day and age, when people would read that, they would understand it from a Roman perspective, seeing a soldier who's decked out in their armament. But he's using imagery that's found in the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Isaiah. And we've looked at the belt of truth, the belt of righteousness, and the shoes that are ready with the gospel of peace. And we've talked about this belt of truth as being this activity of the believer in applying the truth of God's word. We think of this as maybe a defensive mechanism, being a belt, but it's there to kind of, it's the truth of God's word. And it's not just content, but it's acting upon that truth. We would call that oftentimes as being, you know, someone who has integrity. But the belt of truth is demonstrating that that aspect of truth. And so we have God's word, we have his truth, that's the content. And as believers, are we acting upon its content? Do we live our life by what it says in it? So the ideal here is don't be hypocritical. And we realize that Jesus, through his ministry, combated, you might say, against the Pharisees who were quite hypocritical. Who said, well, this is the way you should do it, but they themselves were not doing it that way themselves. And so don't have hypocrisy, have integrity. And that's kind of the point of the belt of truth. And then the next is this understanding of the breastplate of righteousness. And we understand it's not our righteousness, it's God's righteousness. It's righteousness that we obtain by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, as we think about that. And it is the righteousness that we have because of Jesus Christ. We're resting in his finished work on the cross, his death and his resurrection. And so by faith we are counted righteous based on him. Our life is not declared righteous based on the things that we do, okay, or, you know, the things that we have going on, but it's based on him and him alone. And so just like the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness has its practical, its active side. Out of God's righteousness, we are to practice righteousness. We are to live right. We should be actively doing good. Why? Because God sees the believer as being righteous, and so the exhortation is to live right through his righteousness, showing that integrity. It connects back to that belt of truth. So you have the righteousness, it actually connects back to the belt of truth. All right, so we live in integrity, and we have righteousness. And then we have the gospel, the shoes that are the gospel of peace. So you ask the question, well, why would you want to live in a way that upsets the peace that you have with God? And that's kind of the understanding is, as you live out your life, if you have peace with God, why would you want to live in such a way that upsets that peace, that causes tension there? For those who are in Christ, Romans 8:1 states that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We deserve judgment. And the only way that we have peace with God is by grace through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So by faith I am made righteous before God because of Jesus. So as shown already, there is an active side to this armor as well. were made righteous, just like the other two pieces with the shoes that are ready for the gospel of peace. What are we doing about this peace that we have with God? Are we living in integrity? Are we doing those right things? So are we proclaiming the gospel, not just with our words, but also with our actions as well? It's the reason why they're called the shoes that are ready with the gospel of peace. Is my life matching up with those two things? All right, so therefore, as you proclaim the gospel, okay, what you say is backed with what you actually have, which is peace. Do you show that peace in your life? Okay, so today is actually the harder message of all of these. The others are kind of like the ground, the foundation of these things. Because you know the truth, you know what is right, you kind of know what you should be doing. And the question now comes is, are you doing it? And are you doing it? See, in all reality, having faith, or at least indicating that you have faith, and actually living by faith are two completely different items. See, I can proclaim to you all I want to that I have faith. I can tell you all about that faith. But actually having faith are two different things. So as we first look at this, we can kind of narrow this down a little bit as we think about this morning. We're going to talk about faith. Okay. First, we kind of need to establish the faith that Paul is discussing here. That word faith is a very simple word. It's used throughout the New Testament. I think like over 250 times that word is used in the New Testament. The word here in English, it is the shield of the faith. It has a definite article in front of it. Now, as we think of it in English, we don't generally translate that definite article there. We don't talk like that. I don't put the in front of everything that I say. I am the Chris. That doesn't sound right. I am, unless I'm talking about something specific, okay? And so I kind of bring that out for a reason. So let me kind of give it to you like this. If we're sitting around the table and I ask you to pass salt, okay, pass salt. That kind of is a little too general, right? But I might ask you to pass me the salt. You know what I'm talking about, the salt that's on the table. Kind of understand that? It's more specific. You kind of understand that I'm talking about something. I have something in mind. There's something specific I have in mind. Too much salt is bad for you. You see how that's a much broader, a much more generalized statement. So let me give you an example in Scripture. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We've talked about it already. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves." Okay, that is a general statement. By grace are you saved through faith. Okay, Paul just has a general idea in mind. Nothing grandiose or specific in mind. It's just a general statement that he's trying to make. But here, he has something quite specific in mind. He's thinking of something specific because he says this is the shield of the faith. So he's got something in mind, something rather specific he wants for you to think about. So here in the context, Paul is referring to something that's rather specific. In general, faith saves you. In general, faith saves you. But specifically, how does this work in our life? Because Paul's giving you this list of armor, and there's a practical side to this. This is not theological. Theological was chapters 1, 2, and 3. This is practical. Okay, so Paul has something specific in mind here. So the question is this saving faith, or is he talking about something different? As we think about the context here, Paul is addressing believers. He's encouraging them to stand strong. So Paul already counts these people as believers. So when he talks about the shield of the faith, he's not saying the faith as in you need salvation. He's like, we know that. We know you need salvation. We've passed that point. He says, this is practical. How do you live your life each and every day? Do you live your life in the faith? So he's not necessarily saying, hey, listen, you know, I'm talking about salvation. He's like, we've already crossed that bridge. I know you're a believer in Christ. You've proclaimed that. Your testimony, as he proclaims here in the book of Ephesians, he says, you have a testimony that you are believers. He says, though, I want you to live in that faith, in the faith that you have. So the faith here is this ongoing trust, this ongoing confidence and reliance on God and his word. So let's think about this. This shield referred to in this passage is approximately 4 feet tall. Okay, I borrowed this from material from Wednesday night that we're using in the youth. And so it's a Roman shield. It's about 4 feet tall. It's meant for you to kind of be able to get behind. Okay, it covers most of your body. If you needed to, you could actually squat down and you could be behind that. And what was really neat is Roman soldiers, they would get in a group like this and they would create what was called in English the tortoise, okay? They would create a shell around them so that they could advance, okay? So imagine in an army, you are advancing towards either the opposing army or maybe even opposing towards a city, a walled city. You would want to be in this because the other army has archers. And what are those archers doing? Taking aim. Thank you. Yes, they are taking aim. And they really don't care what they hit as long as they hit something. Okay? So you would want to be in something like this. You would want to have something that could cover you up fairly well. Okay? And that's significant to understand this because Paul is saying you need to live behind this shield of faith. Your life needs to be that of someone who is relying on God. Not using that shield can be rather devastating. And it's not just devastating to you, it's sometimes devastating to the people around you. Notice in this picture here, you know, if one of those people said, nah, I'm not going to use that shield. I'm just going to step out from behind it. It leaves them open and vulnerable for attack. And what if you're the person that's in the middle? What happens when you get struck by that arrow? You fall down. And when you fall down, what happens? You're going to make somebody else trip up and fall down because now you're in the way. Okay, basically. And it hurts things. It's devastating to the group. Let me think about it. In ministry, how many times do you hear somebody who's in ministry who succumbs to the temptations out there in this world? And it ruins their testimony, and it sometimes even ruins their ministry that they're involved in. Because stepping around and outside of that shield can be devastating. So Paul exhorts the believers here. He exhorts the readers of this letter to live by faith. Stay behind the shield. Why? Because you need to remember who you're fighting. He starts off with it in this section. He says, remember who you're fighting. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then to remind us that that is what's going on, he tells us as part of this, the reason why you stay behind the shield of faith is that you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. See, this shield would have, oftentimes it was like a double-layered shield. On the outside, it would be lined with like a leather of some kind that could be wet. Okay, could you imagine how heavy this thing is? Going into war, carrying this thing, and it wet with a raw hide on the front of it that was wet. But it was that way for a reason. Because they were going to be shooting darts, and you don't know what's at the end of that dart. that they're going to be shooting those arrows. And so stay behind the shield. Remember who you're fighting. Satan is seeking to take you down. And as a believer in Christ, he desires to ruin your testimony. So you remember those other three things that were talked about? You want to know how devastating it is when we try to step outside of that shield and do things on our own? Remember those other three parts. It ruins your testimony for the gospel. It breaks down that righteousness that you have, that others see in your life. And it ruins that integrity also. Now, your relationship with God may, you know, you still are righteous before God in Jesus Christ. You still have that relationship. But the world around you sees you now as broken, as devastated. He says, stay behind the shield. Why? Because it's so crucial. Stay behind the shield. He desires to ruin your testimony. First, he attacks. He seeks to entice you from getting out from behind that shield. And he will patiently wait for you to drop that shield on your own. He will patiently wait to do that. He steers you away from the works of righteousness through God, through works of self-righteousness. Through works of self-righteousness. And then he twists the truth of God's word. He'll twist the truth of God's word. Something that he's been doing ever since the beginning of the Garden of Eden, when he twists the truth of God's word. And so Paul says, stay behind the shield of faith. He insists on putting on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Don't just say, oh, this week I'll focus on the truth and then neglect the other things. Next week I'll think about the breastplate of righteousness. Yeah, I'll make sure I do good works, but I won't be involved much with the word, the truth. It's not one of those things. He says you have to have the whole armor of God. It all works together to keep you right before others. So that when the world sees you, they see what God can do in the person's life. The whole armor works together. See, remember, this whole armor is not there for God. God doesn't need you to be right. Okay, God is right. See, all of this has to do with how you are living in this world. It's the practical aspect of it. If you turn to Genesis chapter 16, let's go back to the life of Abraham. Abraham, he is a man who was declared righteous by God. That is not something that is debatable. But he did not always stay behind that shield of faith. And in this Genesis chapter 16, you're going to see a moment in his life where he didn't stay behind that shield. And it cost him dearly. Genesis chapter 16. In Genesis chapter 15, God reminds Abraham of this promise. He says, hey, listen, you know, you're gonna be great. Your name is going to be great. Your descendants are going to be like the sand, numerous that you can't count, those kinds of things. He reminds Abraham of the promises that he made when he first called him back in Genesis chapter 12. And then right at Genesis chapter 16, this is what happens. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Now That's important because if God's going to promise you, hey, you're going to have all these descendants, he's going to make you a great nation, all of these things, you're going to have kids, right? That's kind of the idea. And Abraham and Sarah, they're old and they have no kids. Something's not jiving right. And so we keep reading. It says, she had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And so Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And then from that point on, things had a lot of tension between Sarai and Abram and Hagar, and it just got worse. They stepped out from behind that shield of faith, and they said, well, maybe we need to do this some other way. We need to try to do this on our own. We need to try to do this some different method. Maybe God's prevented us from doing this. They stepped out from behind that shield of faith. I want to remind you that in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, the Lord declares Abraham righteous because of his faith. But yet in that very next chapter, Abraham surprises us and he steps out from behind that shield of faith. And they try to attempt doing what God wants to do in their life on their own. And that's very dangerous territory. For a moment when they should have lived behind the shield, they stepped out, attempting to fulfill God's promises in their own way. That one act to this very day has given Israel so much trouble. Now, not everybody in the Arab world is a descendant of Hagar and Ishmael, but many of them are. And many of them are at odds with Israel today. That one little act, it can be very devastating. To the Corinthian church, Paul put it rather plainly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, it says, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. All the pains, all the things that's going on in this world, wouldn't it be better to be with God? It would be. And Paul's dealing with that with the Corinthian church. Yeah, it would be better. But regardless of what's going on, he told them, it is better to walk by faith and not by sight. So he says in verse 9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to do what? Please him. Now if you go back to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us by, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. By faith. We are to be living our life by faith. We keep on reading here in 2 Corinthians. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. That even as a believer in Christ, we stand before God and we're going to make an account of the things that has happened now. And the thing is, at the end of it all, are you going to be identified as somebody who says, hey, listen, I stayed behind the shield of faith. Yeah, it got bad out there. And if it wasn't for the fact that I was behind the shield of faith, I would be one of those, you might say, victims. Stay behind the shield of faith. The shield of faith is a reminder for us to live a life reliant on the character and nature of God, His promises and His words. We can remember these three things. When we believe God and take Him at His word, we actively live out the truth of His word. The shield of the faith. When we believe God and take Him at His word, we will actively live out the truth of His word. Doesn't that connect back to the belt of truth? When we believe God and take aim and take Him at His word, we actively do right in or through His righteousness. When we believe God and take Him at His word, we actively do right in His righteousness or through His righteousness. And then when we believe God and take Him at His word, we actively share His free gift of peace. But when I'm outside of that, when I step away from that shield, all of those things are subject to start breaking down in my life. Why? Because Satan is there to do what? And he'll pull one over here. He says, no, stay behind that shield of faith. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult at times. There's going to be things maybe in your life that you're going to have to drop and stop doing. Choices that you're going to have to make. But the choice is saying, hey, listen, I am going to rely on God, His promises, and His word, and I'm going to stay right there behind that shield of faith. It's funny that we think about the Lord's Prayer. What is the one thing in the Lord's Prayer? And lead me not into temptation. Stay behind that shield of faith. Satan is out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He takes advantage of everything. And the greatest thing that he takes advantage of is when you try to rely on yourself. When you try to rely on yourself for righteousness, when you try to rely on yourself for telling and living by the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you try to rely on yourself for the truth of God's word, you can't do it. You stay behind that shield of faith and say, no, 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 I'm going to rely on Christ. I'm going to rely on God and the things of God and what He's provided. I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to march like that right there, in a shell. Why? Because I can't do it. I'm weak. I can't do it. And I just need to stay right there and just live by faith. So this leads us to our two thoughts. To know Christ is to actively live in faith or live by faith. To know Christ is to actively live by faith. It's not that one-time act when I accepted Christ as my Savior. To know Christ is to say, hey, listen, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to live by that gospel. I'm going to actively live in faith. And then we think about how does this apply to making Him known through faith. Through faith, you stand strong against Satan's schemes. Not through you, through faith. Which means you recognize someone else is involved. In this case, that someone is God. What this boils down to is the very character and nature of who God is. Do you take Him at His word? Do you rely on who He is? Don't get tempted otherwise. God is faithful to His promises. He loves you. He is merciful and He is gracious. But also understand this, as you read through Scripture, you understand that God is also a God of judgment and condemnation. He is a God of wrath. And He does not allow sin to go untaken care of or unreckoned with. He takes care of those things. And He reminds even the Corinthian church, that even in the end, God deals with these things. He takes care of them. Stay behind the shield of faith. And be humble enough in your life that when you step out from around it, raise your hand and say, "Hey, listen, I failed. Forgive me, Lord. I'm going to get right back in behind that shield." Because what is really great and nice about it is that even though the call is to stay behind the shield, God knows that we're not perfect. And that's the reason why he says, "Hey, listen, there is forgiveness." He offers that forgiveness and he says, "Come back behind the shield. Come on. Come on back in." And so the exhortation is, stay behind the shield. If you're not behind the shield right now in your life, raise your hand first and say, "Hey, listen, forgive me, Lord. I've been trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to go my own life, my own direction. I remember when it happened with me many, many years ago. I remember when I had it in my mind that this is the way God wanted me to live my life, but it was me, and I was living outside of that faith. And God got a hold of my heart. And he said, 'This is not what I want you to be doing, Chris.' He said, 'I want you to live by faith.'" What I'm referring to is when I was at UTC, I was an engineering major, and it wasn't that I couldn't do the work. I mean, I easily could do the work. But I was living outside of that shield. And I had my own grandiose ideas in my heads, and I was trying to do things my own way, but thinking that I was doing it God's way, just like Sarah. "Oh, no, God wants us, but maybe he's prevented us to do this. Maybe this is how this needs to be done." That's me. I was being the Sarai and the Abram in that section in Genesis chapter 16. I know this is what God wants, but I'm going to do it this way because this is the way I think it should be done. And that's not what God wanted me to do. He said, "No, I want you behind that faith." And I learned then a very important lesson in my life, that regardless of what's going on around me, in other words, it says in all circumstances, maybe your translation says above all, or it's kind of like, think of this before everything else, live by faith. There have been plenty of times in my life ever since that moment that I've looked back and recognized, yes, right there behind that shield is where I needed to be. I needed to just keep trusting God, and now I see why I was doing that. Because as I look back on those things, I see how God worked things out and took care of the issues. To where if I said, "Oh no," and my stubborn pride and self-righteousness stepped out from behind that and said, "Oh no, I need to do it this way," it would have been devastating. And not just for me. I have a family. I have others around me as well. It would have been devastating for them also. And so the call is for us to live by faith. That's the exhortation. Stay behind the shield. Why? It is important. It is important for your life, for your integrity as a believer in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have that exhortation to live by faith and not by sight. Help us to live in that faith. Help us to understand that regardless of the circumstances, the things that are going on in our life, we are to trust and obey. And Lord, it's difficult. And we need your strength and encouragement in doing so. But Lord, we understand and we see that's the reason why, or that's the reason how we can stand against Satan. Help us to see that there is more out here to this world than just us. Just me. There's so much more going on behind the scenes that we don't know and don't understand. And so, Lord, help us to have faith. Help us to stay there behind the shield. Lord, as we look around this world and we see the chaos, the devastation of sin and so forth that's going on, we need to stay behind the shield. Help us to do so. Lord, we thank you for Christ and that salvation that you've so lovingly given us. It's your mercy and your grace. That's who you are. And in the end, this is all to your praise and to your glory. As we think about this different aspect of the armor, help us to put all of it on. Yeah, there might be some areas that we need to work on a little bit more, but Lord, we need to put all of it on. And help us to not neglect any of it. We thank you for what you've provided for us. We thank you for the tools and the resources as well. We thank you for your word. Help us to know your word. Help us to understand it and apply it to our lives better. Help us to see how things connect and how it works out in our own personal life practically. Help us to do that for your praise and for your glory. Help us to do that for the call of the gospel. We thank you again for what you've done for us. It's in Christ's name. Amen.